music by Paul Reeves. That was Summer from his suite from the Victorian Kitchen Garden, music written for a popular TV programme back in the early 1980s, I think, played as an encore by Michael Collins and Michael McHale, who obviously loved being able to perform for a live audience at last. Isn't it good to have people and applause? Well, there'll be more next Monday lunchtime when pianist Lara Melder plays a recital of Chopin and Rachmaninoff. So I hope you'll join us.
That was Andrew McGregor presenting last Monday's live lunchtime concert, and we're back at the Wigmore Hall just after the 1 o'clock news tomorrow.
Great concerts on Radio 3 need great sound engineers.
Getting live music on air is what our job is all about.
In these COVID times, there's a lot more rigging involved.
Normally, we wouldn't mic every player in the orchestra, but at the moment, we put a mic on nearly every person.
If we're doing a larger orchestra, be around 60 to 120 microphones.
Stereo left, stereo right. Permissions have to be sought to be able to go on stage and move a microphone maybe just perhaps an inch or something, but it's very important that we do that because it makes a huge difference to the sound.
BBC Radio 3, the home of live classical music.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's a little after 2 o'clock this Sunday afternoon. Time for this week's Early Music Show. And in a week when social restrictions are being lifted, Lucy Skeeping takes a timely look at the concept of freedom.
Come ever smiling liberty, for thee we pant and sigh. Liberty brings eternal pleasure. The words of the Israelites as they're inspired by their leader to fight for their faith. Part of Handel's oratorio, Judas Maccabeus. Lisa Saffer was the singer with the Philharmonia Baroque Orchestra, conducted by Nicholas McGeegan. Today's show is about freedom, although as we'll see, it isn't always ever smiling. It's often seen through the lens of love, death, religion, war and much else. And with Judas Maccabeus coming just a few months after the British victory at Culloden, that aria really captured the mood of the nation. "Liberty is the right to live as we wish," wrote the Turkish-born slave-turned philosopher Epictetus some 2,000 years ago. But what does such a multifaceted idea look like in music? Well, perhaps we should explore the absence of freedom first in this poignant lute solo by one of John Dowland's contemporaries. It's entitled "Lost Is My Liberty." And I think the rhythm of those words fits the musical phrases so well. It must surely have been the melody of a long-lost song. Anonymous "Lost Is My Liberty," played on the lute by Anthony Rulli. From the 1530s, the Flemish-born composer Nicolas Gombert held the prestigious post of Master of the Children's Choir in the chapel of the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V. But when he abused his position by foisting his attention on a chorister, he was sentenced to a period of hard labour, rowing in the galleys. Although being consigned below deck doesn't seem to have affected his work. In fact, some of his finest music comes from his time of exile at sea. We're not quite sure when Gombert composed this setting of the medieval chant Media Vita, but the text seems apposite. "In the midst of life, we are in death. Of whom may we seek for succour but of thee, O Lord, who for our sins art justly moved."
Thank you.
Media Vita in Morte Sumus by Nicolas Gombert, the Huelgas Ensemble, directed by Paul van Nevel. Another composer now, J.S. Bach, and his collection of choral preludes, his Orgelbuchlein, the little organ book. So how does that fit in with our theme of liberty and freedom? Well, it's a little known fact that Bach had a brief spell in prison. He was working at the court of Weimar at the time, and when the Duke's old Kapellmeister died, Bach expected the job would go to him. But he was passed over in favour of the late Kapellmeister's son. Angry and disappointed, Bach turned to the Duke's nephew, who helped him get a position at the court of Anhalt-Köthen, about 100 miles north. Unfortunately, the prospect of Bach's resignation didn't go down too well with the Duke, and he had the composer thrown in jail for a month. Not one to waste time, though. Bach is thought to have completed his Orgelbuchlein in his cell, and these two pieces come from the collection. They're purely instrumentals, of course, as Bach set them, but they're based on existing chorales, whose texts, I think, are particularly germane to our theme. The first is based on a hymn by the Lutheran reformer Johann Agricola. I call to you, Lord Jesus Christ, I beg you to hear my cries. And the second, in a far more richly ornamented style, represents a similar plea for divine liberation. When in the hour of utmost need, we cry to thee, O faithful God, for rescue from our misery.
Thank you.
two pieces from Bach's Orgelbuchlein, which he's said to have completed in 1717 during his short spell in the Clink. Marie Rouqui and Étienne Flottier were the string players in Venvir in Höxter Nöten, and before that we heard organist Bernard Focroul in Ich Ruf zu dir. So far we've been concentrating on physical freedom, or the lack of it. But as those two Bach pieces suggest, the idea of liberty can also be an emotional concept, particularly when it comes to the freedom to love, such a huge part of music, especially in stage drama. In this next set, we'll hear an aria from Francesca Caccini's opera, The Liberation of Ruggiero, the song of a sweetly loving shepherd. But first, Caccini's contemporary, Barbara Strozzi, and a madrigal from her collection entitled Liberty. Only this time, the call is for freedom to escape love, rather than revel in it. Stop enticing me with your sweet hopes, fickle servitude. It was a foolish mistake to court such pain. Freedom, freedom from the chains of love.
Oh,
Two pieces by 17th century women, the loving shepherd's aria from Francesca Caccini's opera The Liberation of Ruggiero, performed there by La Villanella Basel. And before that, we heard the Orlando di Lasso ensemble in Barbara Strozzi's Non ci lusinghi più. You're listening to The Early Music Show here on Radio 3 with me, Lucy Skeeping, and we're exploring the theme of liberty in music. The hero of Caccini's opera, Ruggiero, fell captive under the magic spell of the sorceress Alcina. But sometimes, well, it's simply fate that seems to control a character's destiny. The tales of ancient Greece were full of this. Think of Orfeo, whose attempt to rescue his beloved Eurydice from the underworld ends in disaster. Our next music also focuses on a rescue, that of Andromeda, who's freed by Perseus from the hands, or should I perhaps say tentacles, of a sea monster who's held her captive and left her to die. Andromeda Liberata is a pasticcio, in other words, a staged work featuring music by several different composers, which in this case includes Vivaldi, who we know wrote this next aria, Sovente il Sole. Often the sun shines in the sky and is even more beloved if a dark cloud has managed to obscure it. And Sophie Varnotta sings it beautifully here. And it's all the more moving when you know that the violin part was first played by Vivaldi himself, his last ever documented performance.
Thank you.
Perseus releasing Andromeda from captivity in Vivaldi's aria Solvente il Sole. An enchanting performance there from Anne-Sophie von Otter and violinist Daniel Hope. Let's move to France now, and music by Lully, part of his Tragédie Lyrique Armida. This time, instead of the ancient world, the plot concerns the First Crusade, with the text based on Tasso's epic poem from the 1580s, Jerusalem Liberata. But this being opera, the historical facts are, shall we say, enlivened with all sorts of fantasy characters, including the seductive sorceress Armida, who surprises herself by falling head over heels for her sworn enemy, the Christian knight Renaud. Unable to break free from her overwhelming feelings of love, she's left enraged, despairing, and hopeless. Ah, if I am to be robbed of freedom, is it you who should be my conqueror? She sings. Must you reign in my heart in spite of me? Your death was my fondest desire. It's followed here with what's probably the best-loved piece from the opera, Lully's famous Passacaglia.
Thank you.
music from Lully's Armide. Café Zimmermann played the Passacaille from Act 5, and before it, Noémie Riem sang Armide's mournful song of love, accompanied by La Chapelle Royale, directed by Philippe Erwege. When it comes to religious freedom, we could turn to Tudor England and the great dangers faced by Catholics in a country that was now embracing Protestantism full on. The composer William Byrd found himself at the heart of this dilemma and, like so many others, was forced to keep his Catholic faith secret. And yet these next two pieces seem to reveal his true leanings. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Byrd's setting of Psalm 136 surely alludes to the then plight of the English Catholics. It's an amazing work with delicately threaded lines weaving their way in gentle contemplation and beautifully performed here by the singers of Gallicantus. But first, here's Byrd's gentle tribute to one of Northern Europe's holiest of Catholic shrines, Walsingham in Norfolk, where it was said the Virgin Mary had appeared in medieval times. This busy place of pilgrimage inspired an enormously popular ballad that begins, "As I went to Walsingham to the shrine with speed, met I with a jolly palmer in a pilgrim's weed." And in writing a set of keyboard variations on its distinctive melody, Byrd must surely have been connecting to his own Catholicism and indeed his hope for a time of religious freedom.
Thank you.
William Byrd's setting of Psalm 136, Quomodo Cantabimus. And before that, we heard harpsichordist David Moroni with part of William Byrd's keyboard variations on the popular ballad tune Walsingham. So, we've heard freedom and liberty in many early music guises. And with just a few minutes to spare, let's join the Israelites once again, now safe and praising God for the delivery from Pharaoh's army. The final chorus from part three of Handel's Israel in Egypt, and a rousing performance from Harry Christophers and the 16. Do join me next time.
To the Lord from Handel's Israel in Egypt. The 16 and the 16 Orchestra were conducted by Harry Christophers. And that ends this week's edition of the Early Music Show, presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Eva Norman. Lucy returns next Sunday with a programme dedicated to the city of Antwerp. That's at the same time, 2 o'clock.
A new series with the harpist Katrin Finch.
I want to show you how adventurous the harp can be, how it's moving into new territories and pushing its boundaries in a multitude of exciting new directions.
Discover harps from around the world.
Experience something a little bit different, the shimmering beauty of the kora.
The classical harp in some unusual settings.
There is nothing quite like the exhilarating experience of being on stage with a bunch of young quattros playing their hearts out.
The Harp's Journey with Katrin Finch continues this evening at 11 on Radio 3, with the first two episodes on BBC Sounds.
This is BBC Radio 3. It's a little after 3 o'clock now, and time for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast live on Wednesday from St Pancras Church in London during this year's London Festival of Contemporary Church Music. The St Pancras Canticles were written especially for this year's festival by Stevie Wishart, and they were receiving their first performance. And the anthem is O Ignis Spiritus, a setting by Joanna Marsh of a text by Hildegard of Bingen. O fire of the comforting spirit, life of all creation, you are holy in quickening all kind. In a moment, the choir sings the introit, the world premiere of the Troparion of the Ascension of Our Lord by Renat Svechkovskis. But the service opens with the first of the two Wings of Faith hymn preludes by Alan Gibbs, Come Holy Ghost.